Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
And boy, do we got a big hour filled with big wins from the NBA tonight. You're going to meet a new America's team in a minute. We got Squid Game news, not just LeBron James not liking the end of the movie. Can't dress in Squid Game outfits now in New York City schools, banning Squid Game costumes for Halloween week.
That's next level stuff right there.
Oh, man. You know, I think I would be more outraged about this story if my Squid Game costume was actually going to get here on time. It's not. Like, I knew everybody was going to, but I got to get it, man, because it's the most comfortable Halloween costume I'm ever going to get to wear. It's a tracksuit. It's going to be great. It's never going to come in time.
You'd be like Jason Sudeikis when he was dancing on the What's Up With That skit. Yeah, I went and I posted mine that I really should have bought, and I just thought it was kind of funny, is that it was suggested for me, it's a wearable version of the Price is Right wheel.
Okay.
So, you know, you spin the wheel for the Showcase Showdown to get okay. to the Showcase Showdown, yeah, and right. there it is, and you strap it on, it's got like part of the wheel.
Okay.
Pretty good. And it's an officially licensed product. Good job by them.
Because now it's about shipping. Like, I knew, I'm like, okay, I ordered this thing like 2.5 weeks ago. The guarantee is going to be there by October 20th. Now, I got to just cancel it because there's no way it's coming. There's no, I'm so mad.
I'd tell you to beat it. You don't get to cancel at this point.
I was actually going to, I had planned on coaching our soccer game this weekend wearing the tracksuit. I'm like, it's going to be fun, right?
Here's the beauty of it. You could probably find a comparable tracksuit almost anywhere right now.
The knockoff one? I'm going to wear the knockoff Squid Game?
Yeah, this one's $80, $15, $1, 5 cents, 90 cents. That's what's part of the front. It's like $65. I can't get it here in time. So I'll just buy the regular wheel, and then we could figure out how to use it as part of the show. But yeah, I think you'd look great in a tracksuit. What are you, Squid Game, or are you part of The Sopranos?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you see it, you know it's Squid Game. It's not like, it's not like it's a velour tracksuit that's nice that you would go, oh, that's kind of very Tony Soprano-esque. No, it would be, this is definitely where you know it's Squid Game.
Okay, yeah I mean, it assumes you know it all too, you know?
Yeah. Well, you see, because even if you haven't watched Squid Game, you've seen pictures of what the people look like.
Yeah.
So you know what, there's a guy that's not seen Squid Game.
Doing my best to just hold out.
Listen, you're up till 6 o'clock in the morning every night. You always tell me, I couldn't get to sleep. So watch 4 episodes tonight.
But what? I don't want to.
What are you going to do instead?
Watch something else.
What are you going to... You really want to be the one guy to have no social currency? Did you see Squid Game? No. Oh, I can't talk to that guy. Why? Yeah, hasn't seen Squid Game. You're going to be left out of every conversation.
I'll be the most interesting man in the world because I haven't seen it.
No. What are people going to talk to you about? A TV show that you haven't seen? Boy, you got to see Squid Game. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Okay. I'm going to go talk to people over here that have seen Squid Game. So we're
you're one of my grand strategies to be left the hell alone, Smith. You never think about that?
You're only going to have a short amount of time before Squid Game is like Tiger King. It's like it's going to be so incredibly hot for like a month and a half, 2 months, then it's going to be, okay, we're on to something else.
Yeah, but
so
here's the thing. Other than you, nobody's really gotten hot and bothered to try to get me to get all excited and watch this.
Dude, I always tell you to watch good TV. I always tell you when it's and Squid Game is fun. It's a huge guilty pleasure, but you're gonna love it.
Okay.
You know what else you're gonna like? All right, you want a good show to watch? You ready for this?
Yeah.
I know I was a little late, just began.
Locked and
Key. No, but this is the funniest show that I've seen in probably, I don't know, 4 years. It's the funniest kind. It's called The Other Two. And I can't tell you how funny it is. I can't tell you how funny it is. It's the center, the main
topic of this is that it's a like a 13-year-old kid who gets famous because he puts this song on YouTube and he becomes famous. I Want to Marry You at Recess is his song, right? And his name is Chase Dreams, right? So he becomes famous. It's like Justin Bieber, right? He puts this video out and he becomes famous and now he's a teen idol. But it's about his two older brother and sister, and it's about their lives, you know, getting caught up in what's going on with Chase Dreams. It is hysterical. The first couple episodes you watch and go, hey, you know, that's pretty good. Boy, I like this. Boy, the characters are really funny. Ken Marino's in it. He's hilarious. Molly Shannon's really funny. And you're like, oh, yeah. And by the fourth episode, you're laughing your ass off every single thing they say. It's so smart. It's so great. I mean, it's former SNL writers who are writing it. I can't tell you. The other two, I can't say. I recommend it so much. It's so funny.
Yeah, I spent the night the other night watching What Happened, Brittany Murphy. That was a downer. That really didn't leave me satisfied. New edition kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm came out, so that's good. I'm catching up. A friend of mine's the exec producer of Insecure. That new season just started, so catching up on last season, revisiting that to, you know, get into any discussions on that and harass him. And then, of course, Succession, which I like, you don't.
Yeah, no, because I wish there were people I rooted for. If there was somebody I'd like to root for, I'd watch Succession, but there's nobody. So
no, I'm all for it. And then I've got friends that are trying to get me to the wonderful world of Sex and the City. And, you know, going back after a lot of years, I don't know.
All right. Well, that is a journey. Good luck there, my friend.
Well, there's just it's luck. A lot. I mean, it's a lot of stuff to process. Yeah. I mean, because I've already done The Sopranos. I've caught up to Curb, so now I'm ready for all the new stuff. Mayor of Easttown, watch that. I mean, you didn't try to badger me there. I was all on board that one.
All right. So, I told you to watch that one. I told you that was a good one.
And me and Ted Lasso, you know, we're good. So, you know, now it's next stuff. And, you know, maybe you can revisit Glow, too. Maybe we could do a whole podcast on it.
All right, let's not go too far on it, okay? I was really bored by Glow, but let's just not go too far. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Where, speaking of, we're introducing you to new television shows. Let's introduce you to the new America's team. No, it's not the Dallas Cowboys. It is the Atlanta Braves. They win game one of the World Series tonight, 6-2. They beat the Astros, and everything that I advised on is coming true. I told you a week ago, listen, it's okay that the Astros are in the World Series. Many people were very upset. I want them to lose. I want them out. The cheating scandal, they never really got punished enough. I'm so mad. I can't stand the Astros. This is where you want them to be. You want them to be in the World Series. And then you want them to lose in front of everybody. Lose on national TV and see all the Astros fans who get so upset in the stands and the players who get mad because they don't have any buzzers they can wear anymore telling them a fastball is coming. You know, this is where you want. You want to see them lose on national TV. Now, I get it's dicey because they could win the World Series and then that would be really bad and really would piss you off some more. But what is life without a little adventure? So isn't this worth the risk? Isn't this what you... You don't want the Astros to lose anonymously and not make the playoffs and be a 500 team and go, oh, we're out of the play. No, you want them to, hey, let's get close to your dream. Let's get so close to you validating what a great baseball team you are, even though nobody believes it because of all the cheating scandal that's gone on. Let's let you get that close, and then let's see it get taken away from you. Everybody is a Braves fan.
Is it Charlie Brown in the football? Is that kind of the scenario you're putting together here?
You're not going to pull that out. No, not this time, Charlie. Everybody's a Braves fan. Nobody knows who any of these players are. Makes no difference. Everybody's a Braves fan because this is America's team because they can beat the Astros. The Braves are America's team again for the first time since 1996. It's awesome. That's the last time everybody loved the Braves when they were beating the evil Pirates in the NL East and, oh, Barry Bonds, but here comes Dave Justice and Ron Gant and Francisco Cabrera and Smoltz and Glavine. They're so much fun because the Braves have sucked for so long. Terry Pendleton's the MVP, and oh, what a great year. Oh, the Braves were America's team 25 years ago. Now they're America's team again.
Well, the great opportunity, right, for those that are unsatisfied. And let's face it, it's most of the baseball loving world. Right, we all can't have the glass half full. Hey, that was a long time ago. You know, forgive and forget. It's like any friendship, relationship, work environment that goes bad. You may get over it somewhat, but it's still there, right? It still hits you every now and again. It's like, oh, either you go wistful or you get angry. Sometimes you go from one to the other in breakneck speed. But that's the same thing here with the Astros. Like, all right, same, you know, different team, right? The rotation's different. Yeah, but the core guys are the same. But they have a different manager. Look, it's lovable, huggable Dusty Baker. Yeah, it's still the Astros. Right? No, nobody's buying it. Nobody's moving on. With the Braves, you got a bunch of players that really nobody knows, or they remember them in other uniforms.
Right.
Dodgers, right? Yeah. No, he's over there. So you've got some of that. So some of that familiarity. But overall, it's a let's get to know your National League champions, you know, was kind of the theme of night one with a lot of Rosario highlights. Your guy coming off his NLCS.
Best player in baseball history.
Well, I mean, I saw you put him in the top five.
Yeah. You know, I put that out there, right? I did a fun list. Hey, top five players in baseball history. You know, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, Eddie Rosario. Then I said Ted Williams. And the number of people that are coming back at me thinking that's serious, like, how do you not have Pete Rose in the top five? I would have Williams ahead of Hank Aaron.
What do you mean Pete Rose in the top five? Who the hell's making this list? Is that Pete Rose's burner account?
What kind of list is this? How could you put him in the top five? Like, oh, my God. I wanted to say something. I'm like, no. I want to see if more people just treat this as real. Yes, Eddie Rosario, third best player in baseball history. You know, sandwiched between Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron. There it is, right there. We got Eddie Rosario right there. I would have Williams ahead of Aaron. Oh, but some of the responses are just classic. I love them.
Oh, no, that's great. I mean, it's the list. It's why I'm building the medal stand. We're going to argue about a lot of really stupid things really soon, and including a guy like Rosario, hell of a run, and maybe, you know, we'll be putting him on some short list of postseason heroics, you know, like when Joe Flacco was elite and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, New York Jets quarterback Joe Flacco. But for now, it's kind of let's have some fun with it because he's on the national stage and he becomes, I mean, the de facto. I don't know if we're going to put up graphics for this series. Is he not the guy that's front and center for the Braves right now?
Sure. I mean, look, and that's the genius of the Braves, right? Because the Braves are the hottest team in baseball, and they sure as hell look like a team of destiny, right? I believe in other things, but they sure as hell look like a team of destiny because they got hot after the deadline. They stayed hot. They stayed hot during the playoffs, and that's how you win. If you're the hottest team in the playoffs, you win. The best team doesn't always win. The hottest team wins. And if you need any more evidence about how going forward at the trade deadline is what you should be, we're going to kind of stand pat and hope to just, you know, win this division by going 500 the rest of the way. And the Braves said, screw that. We're going to make moves. And their entire starting outfield, their top four outfielders, right? Soler, who DH'd tonight, and Rosario, Duvall, and Jock Peterson. All of them were on different teams on July 1st. Their entire starting outfield, their DH, their top four outfielders, all were not on the roster on July 1st. They made the moves that put the injection of energy and talent into the team, and here they are riding this wave. This is why when the deadline happens and you're winning, you got to go for it, right? It makes all the other teams that didn't make big moves, like the Mets, oh, we're just going to get Javi Baez. Guys were in first place. You had a 4.5 game lead. No, we're just going to do this. What the hell is wrong with you? This is when this could be your year. You're only going to make that move because we don't want to screw anything up because we're winning and we make a move. No, and the Mets deserve to lose because of that. And the Braves deserve to win. Fortune favors the bold. That's why the Braves are in the World Series. I give them all the credit for being able to do the right thing at the trade deadline and riding that wave all the way into the World Series.
Good for you, because I was going to use Will Rogers. Even if you're on the right track, you get run over if you just sit there.
I like that. That's a good one. You should have saved that for your own. I would have trusted you that was yours and not.
No,
I
celebrate the wizardry of Will Rogers, and that's one of the great quotes. You know, I've got a book that my aunt gave me all these years ago. You know, you can't afford the luxury of a negative thought, and it's got some great quotes in there, and that was one of my favorites. So, you know, for all of you out there, you know, you might think you're on the right path, but you got to keep moving. Right? Move with purpose and direction in your life. If you're waiting for stuff to come and get you, it's going to come and get you.
There it is, and that's one to grow on from Mike Harmon.
Yeah. Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Oral greatness.
Big night in the NBA tonight. Big night, big night, big night. We watched the Knicks beat the Sixers 112-99. Look, I've said it many times. The Knicks are legit. They're a complete team. They have an underrated bench. They're going to be a terrific team this season. Everybody else can say, oh, I don't know. Trust me, the Knicks are legit. I've said it for a while. They're legit. Surprising me in the legit category, Mike Harmon, are the Golden State Warriors, who, look, they're not beating world beaters, but 4-0 is still 4-0, and here are the Warriors at 4-0. I already saw a bit on ESPN earlier today. Are the Warriors an NBA Finals team? I'm like, oh, my God, let's just stop for a second. Instead of saying, are the Warriors a Finals team, hey, are we believing in the Warriors after this start? Because 4-0 is still nice, right? 4-0 start is nice, but their wins are over the Lakers, which we don't know how they're going to be. They beat the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. They beat the
Kings. Just made people's heads explode. What do you mean you don't know how the Lakers are going to be? How dare you?
They beat the Kings. The Kings stink. They beat the Thunder stinks. But still, 4-0 is 4-0, and the Warriors are doing this, and so far, without Klay Thompson, you know, Poole has been nice at shooting guard opposite of Steph Curry. So, I gotta say, this is not a, yo, I believe in the Knicks because it's my team, and the Warriors because I've criticized them. It's a good start for Golden State. But 4-0, it's nice. But are they really this good? Are they really a good team? Or are they just in a stretch right now where they played a couple of teams that are bad and a couple of teams trying to figure things out? I'm still – the jury is still out for me on Golden State. But it is a great start, right? 4-0 is still 4-0. But am I believing suddenly they're one of the best teams in the West? Yeah, no. Because this is not a roster that's that much – that's even better than it was last year at this point. When Klay Thompson comes back, it'll be better. But it's kind of the same team. And, okay, let's just see how things go for a little bit longer. I'm okay with tapping the brakes on the Warriors for a little bit.
Yeah, but the show is tonight. So we've got Wiggins and we've got Steph Curry combining for 44, 10, and 8. I'm digging what I'm seeing there. You got Looney with 5 and 8, giving you some tough guy minutes along the way. Damian Lee thus far has been fantastic, 20 points off the bench. He's averaging 12-3 a game. So it's a pretty solid start to things. And why not get a bit – look, let's not talk titles. Let's just talk playoffs and then potential to create chaos based on Steph Curry still being able to put up Steph Curry numbers and drive you nuts. If Klay Thompson comes back at 80% of the guy he was, you know, the all-time top 75 player that he thinks he is, then suddenly they're going to be a problem. Maybe they make a move. Maybe they go get Ben Simmons and they take things to a whole other level. I don't know. Maybe the glove part two can become an extension of his dad. I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. All I know is if Andre Iguodala is giving them 19 minutes a night when we get towards the playoffs, that probably doesn't bode well. I like the veteran. I like the veteran now. I don't know that I like him in game 94.
Look, if they make a move, right, if they were able to get and pry Ben Simmons away from the 76ers, then I'll really like them. I've told you that for a while. If they get Ben Simmons, that's a guy that can plop right in and can shut down all the other great guards in the Western Conference and say, good luck, doesn't need to hit a shot, can rebound, can dish. They got enough guys that can shoot. They get Klay Thompson back, and Klay Thompson is close to being the Klay Thompson he was. I mean, this is 2 years now, so you don't know what you're going to get from him. But if he's close to it, and they get Ben Simmons, and suddenly you're moving Steph around, and things get a little bit easier. Things open up a bit. Then I'll really like the Warriors. But they need more if they're going to sustain this, because the other teams are going to pick it up eventually, and you're going to see teams like Denver start winning games and very methodically. Teams like Utah, who are already 3-0, they're going to keep winning methodically. You're going to see that. So that's kind of where I'm like, okay, tap the brakes a bit on Golden State for this, because other teams are still going to hit their stride. But if they make a move, if they make that big move, then I agree. I will really like Golden State going forward.
Yeah, short term, it's the let's enjoy the start. Give us a couple of extra storylines beyond, you know, LeBron James game. We'll get into Squid Game more as the hour goes on. All of those things. But you know, or Kyrie Irving, which you had protests. You've still got all this swirling about. They've still got to go play basketball and figure out the Eastern Conference. The Sixers go and they lose to your Knicks. your Knicks and break a 15-game losing streak to that squad in the process. But, you know, those are teams atop the East. With the Western Conference, we know it's going to be crowded. We know it's going to be a mess. So if you have a couple of teams that you can point out and get a little excited about, right, people fired up at the near miss, the opportunities for Ja Morant and some of what he's shown to start the year, right, because you need the new superstars, but you still like the old guard. And well, it's scary to say that Steph Curry's part of the old guard at this point and still being able to put up his numbers and excite the crowd. So if the Warriors are relevant at all, it's good for basketball, right? So, you know, another guy because he pushes the needle. You either have folks that absolutely hate him and think he's a nobody. You've got your system quarterback take that nobody bothers to actually listen to the rest of the segment to hear the analysis of. They just hear those words and, you know, the ears perk up and all of a sudden the anger flows. And then there's others that, you know, you've got them on a pedestal and there can be no, do not slander or besmirch the name of Steph Curry. Even if, you know, you don't like his miniature golf show. I mean, all of those things come into play as you flow. And so we need talking points opposite, you know, the midpoint of the NFL season.
So there we go. There's the Knicks, huge. The Warriors, doing what they need to. And then there's the Lakers, who played without LeBron James tonight in San Antonio. Clearly a chance to go 1-3. Was still going to be difficult for the Lakers to figure things out. But it goes to overtime, and, well, here's the final call.
That'll do it from San Antonio in overtime tonight. The Lakers beat the Spurs.
Billy Mack on the call. They win it 125-121. It was a big night, and I mean a big night for both Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis. The two basically do everything. Look, you get some nice nights off the bench, and that when you get Russell Westbrook nearly a triple-double without LeBron James and Anthony Davis basically giving you the exact same production, this shows you that what we said opening night when the Lakers lost is going to work. We told you when the Lakers decide, hey, let's let Russell Westbrook run the show, right? You got Russell Westbrook for this reason, not to be a guy to play off the ball. You got him to be a ball dominant point guard like he's been for his career and to be someone to carry you during the regular season. So games when you're missing LeBron James, you can beat the Spurs on the road. So you can limit Anthony Davis's minutes a little. You can get to the playoffs as fresh as you want to. This was a case of let Russ cook, right? Let Russ cook. But no. When Frank Vogel said after game one, Russell Westbrook's got to fit into our system like that, you know, the Lakers aren't going to take off until that goes out the window. Because if you're trying to make Russell Westbrook fit in, he's going to be just a guy. Because you can think that, oh, he's a great player, he can fit in. No, that's not what he does. He comes in, he demands the basketball, and when he's got it, good things happen. And tonight, that's what you saw. Now, a lot of it was because of the necessity with LeBron James taking off that you saw Westbrook handle the ball as much as he did. But I think you saw tonight, this is kind of where you have to go if you're the Lakers. 33, 10, and 8 for Westbrook. 35 and 17 for Anthony Davis. Clearly, the two of them work well together when Russell Westbrook is running the show. And now LeBron, when he comes back, I mean, look, he only sat out one game here. He'll be back the next game. But LeBron doesn't need to be able to bring the ball up all the time and be the guy the offense goes through. You can change it and have Russell Westbrook be that guy, and LeBron can move his game around it. I'm not saying LeBron's going to get less responsibility. Suddenly he's going to be an afterthought, your number three guy, but you got Russell Westbrook to be Russell Westbrook. So let him do it. And then LeBron and Anthony Davis, especially LeBron, can figure out his game around it. How do I be the most dangerous player I can be? He went from being a forward who was as dominant as possible. When he goes to the Lakers, guess what? I'm going to play point guard. And whoa, look at you leading the league in assists. LeBron James at point guard. The guy can play anywhere. So why don't you take somebody you can play anywhere and do that with LeBron and have Russell Westbrook, who clearly is a ball dominant point guard, do his thing at point guard. If the Lakers realize this for certainty and this is how they go forward, everything is going to be fine.
Yeah, I think you bring in Russell Westbrook, and part of it is also your load management taken to a whole other level, right? You expect these three guys to lead you and be the triumvirate. Get there, At least we assume it gets there, right? If everybody's healthy and everybody's playing their minutes, they'll figure it out to at least a point to where it's functional. And that doesn't mean game one, doesn't mean game four. And here on game four, LeBron James is out, ankle. How long is it day to day? Does he just randomly miss a game here or there for the load management world? Yeah, that's good. Russell Westbrook will play all 48 if you allow him to. And he will harass the hell out of other players on offense and defense for you and leave it all out there. So, yeah, you buy time and make sure that LeBron's minutes are managed, right? At this point, manage his body wear and tear. Likewise, I think you want to do that with Anthony Davis over the course of time. 42 minutes tonight, 15 of 31, 35, 17, and 4 for Anthony Davis with 4 block shots. Just a monster game. Had a scare, right? Twitter almost broke. I think I saw the whale tail start to emerge from the water when he went down. There was that anxious moment, and then he caught an alley-oop and everything was right with the world. But that's the thing, and you're going to need Reeves, Rondo, Howard, and Anthony were your 4 guys off the bench. You know, they combined for 28 points. Somehow Carmelo Anthony only takes 7 shots in 30 minutes. I don't know how that works. That's kind of a crazy world for me. They're going to need to give consistent production those top 3 and make sure that come playoff time they're rested and ready to go. And so games like this, yeah, it took overtime to finish it off. But for the Lakers, this is the best of all worlds. But eventually, they do need to figure out how to coexist in a timeshare of the basketball. Maybe you get it for the first quarter, I get it for the third, and then we figure out the second and fourth. I don't know. Timeshare management is a whole other thing that I'm just learning about.
So I'm going to have it for the first quarter. Then you have it set. Then I'm in the third quarter. Then one of us is going to sit in the fourth quarter. Like we're putting out a lineup for soccer. Okay, well, you're going to sit in the fourth quarter this week because you haven't sat in the fourth quarter yet. It's your turn. But I don't want to sit in the fourth
quarter. But only if we're up by a goal.
Right.
And our time of possession is, been higher. And we haven't had any stressful minutes on defense for more than 5 minutes in this quarter. Yeah, it's all
controlling that we're going to do it. Okay, that would be awesome just to see that meeting with Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. This is how we're going to handle it. You guys are going to alternate not playing in the fourth quarter.
Now we're negotiating who's on the ball.
Oh, that would be the best.
And they've got little marks like they're doing a stage production. When you're not running, point and you don't have the ball in your hands, you are there. There's a little picture of their face or something.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So LeBron James missing tonight's game. But that's okay because we still have great LeBron James content because he is now feuding with the director of Squid Game. It was a week ago, LeBron James, leaving his post-game press conference, runs into AD before AD is coming out to talk, and they start talking about the end of Squid Game, and LeBron says, oh, I didn't really like the end of it, and, this moment went the show, and I told you that, the ending is actually pretty good. It actually goes along with the character arc of the main character that LeBron is talking about. So it was fine. It was fine, but I didn't like the end. LeBron wants this big heartwarming ending like it's Ted Lasso, and it's like, dude, there's buckets of blood every 5 minutes in this, and you want something that, oh, this would be a great ending. But now the director of Squid Game is a little upset. Did an interview yesterday, and it's just been made public today. It had to be translated. It was done on a podcast in Korea. And he was asked about LeBron James' criticism, and the director said, maybe I didn't like Space Jam 2. Maybe I didn't like that. Maybe LeBron can do the end and make his own ending. He could got enough money, make the own ending for his Squid Game, and maybe that could work out great. You know, Magic had Larry, and now LeBron's got the director of Squid Game.
We all need to find our motivation and inspiration. Sometimes it's a little tongue-in-cheek back and forth. Maybe the guy, the director's really upset. I don't know. I do know this, that LeBron James had the night off, did a little bit of coaching, wore a nice jaunty hat on the sideline for the Laker game. But I bet you he's pondering, you know, some witty retort. We'll see.
I would ponder a witty retort myself. I would. I mean, I like the fact that all these interviews that are coming out now with the Squid Game cast, how honest they are about things. Like, it's such stardom that has overtaken them so fast. Like, one of the main characters says, I can't keep track of all the acting jobs that are coming my way now. I don't have a manager or an agent, so my daughter helps me answer the emails.
That's pretty sweet.
I mean, that's awesome, right?
I've told Maddie she needs to do that for all the voiceover work that I should be getting.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she should answer all the emails. Answer all the emails. And the director says, "Yeah, I really don't have an idea for Squid Game season 2." Dude, that's not what you say in Hollywood. You say, I have 4 seasons of Squid Game planned out so we can sell the hell out of this thing.
No, but if you say that you've got it all planned out and worked out, then people are getting ready to hate watch. Oh, see, you already had it set up for a sequel, as opposed to, I don't know how the hell this is going to be received. Not to mention, he also said very bluntly, no, I did not get rich off this. Just so
right.
you know.
Right, well, yeah. Yeah, no, he's doing well. He had to sell his laptop, right? He was writing the script, screenplay, and at one point he had to sell his laptop for like $600. I mean, now he's not worried, but he says he's making money on putting food on the table now. But this is a runaway hit. I mean, this is like 150 million houses have downloaded Squid Game and watched it at least once. It's crazy.
Sweet. I'll have to watch it. If nothing else, just so I can tell you it's either good or terrible.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like this. I could say it because he's probably not listening. It's like when Michael Fabiano wants to make a trade with you in fantasy, sometimes it's just as easy to just make a trade so he won't keep emailing you and texting you all the time. And it's like, just, you know what? I don't want to make this trade, but I'll do it just to stop. And then Squid Game, just so, okay, Jason will stop asking me to watch Squid Game. He'll finally get me to stop. So I'll stop asking. We'll talk about Squid Game.
Okay. No, that sounds good. And then we'll do a podcast on it.
All right. Very good. Twitter and I'm out of Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, a big NFL story that won't die that I didn't really care about until today. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Take off your uniform.
You know, I didn't really care about the Tom Brady 600th ball till late last night and seeing what happened on the Manning broadcast and then today with Jerry Jones weighing in. All right, now, this is a really big deal on Sunday. Mike Evans catches Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass and not realizing it's a 600th touchdown, gives it to a fan in a Mike Evans jersey. Well, very quickly, they asked for it back. The fan gave it back, and the fan got a whole bunch of cool stuff. Got signed stuff and jerseys from Brady. They got cleats from Mike Evans, signed stuff from him. Got season tickets for the rest of this year and next year. Fan got a bunch of stuff. Now, was it worth what the ball was? No, because you've heard estimates that it could be worth as much as $500,000, and depending on the market, it could be that. It could be way more. Could be a little bit less. But certainly, yeah, the fan could have had more money. But okay, I didn't mind it because the fan did something nice and said, hey, I'll give you the ball back and you're going to give me some cool stuff. All right. You know, I didn't win this. You know, I didn't go out on the field and do this myself. It was kind of a found money thing. Then I saw Brady and Peyton Manning and Jerry Jones, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady joking around saying, the fan lost all their all their bargaining position by giving the football back. They shouldn't have done that. Jerry Jones weighs in and said, this is what I would have done. I would have told everybody I have it. I would have opened it up for bidding. Then I would have got the most out of it. And I saw this and I'm like, okay. Now you guys are okay really going to the wall and reminding this fan that, boy, this could have been something you got $500,000 for. That could have been buying a house, could have been all these different things. Now you want to do that? Okay. Now what I want every time a fan gets a ball like this, whether it's a home run ball or a touchdown ball, they mistakenly get it, you hold on that and you ransom the crap out of it. And you make them pay through the nose for it. And you, I want you to stand up and say, because Brady and Peyton and Jerry Jones decided to have fun with this person who really lost a big payday, now you're going to give me 10 times what this thing is worth. Oh, I got your 500th home run ball? Yeah, you know what you're going to pay me? $5 million. Then you can get the 500th home run ball. If not, I'll go sell it. I'll get way less for it, but I'm not going to give it to you. If you want to sit back here and have fun at the fans' expense and go, oh, you should have. You know what? Now, anybody that gets some big part of memorabilia, you ransom it from that player, and then you make sure to cite after, why are you doing this? Why are you being a bad guy? Why don't you give it up? Say, no, no, I watched everybody make fun, and I watched professional athlete ball, and they couldn't wait to just say, oh, he made all these mistakes, X, Y, and Z. So now you know what? Because of that, this is why I'm going where I am. That's what I want all fans to do.
See, I like the way, I like the cut of your jib. You're starting to understand this. There's a whole other marketplace. But you remember the home run derby in the chase of 1998? Todd McFarlane, Spawn, and all the McFarlane toys and comics and all of that. He was buying all of these. Million here, 2 million there, whatever. When Barry Bonds had his run, you had all those guys fighting in the canoe outside McCovey Cove trying to make sure they got their hands on the ball. And some of the guys don't care. Like, the players themselves had no interest in them. In this case, you, but maybe there's legit sentimentality going on there. But, you know, this marketplace right now since the pandemic is just exploded. Cards, memorabilia, all of these things are just at ridiculous levels. So, yeah, I think the $500,000 to me is actually kind of low. And I don't think any teammate will be putting a ball anywhere near the stands going forward after this incident. So your attempt to cash in on another ball for Brady later on, whether it's 601 or 699 or 700, you're probably not getting anywhere near. Your grubby little mitts aren't going to be there. But for others, right, Matt Stafford threw his 300th on Sunday. Whatever happened to the ball there, that would have some value, I'm sure. Certainly not to the same level, same multiple. But I like your idea. It's like, you know, in the moment, there's going to be peer pressure to give it back. And if you don't understand or know and acknowledge all of this, then maybe, you know, hey, you can have the ball back. Obviously, it's your ball, except that Mike Evans just gave it to you. Right. And now the law says it is mine and I should bleed everything I can. Because look, man, that's down payment and then some house money here even in Southern California, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it, man. I get it. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. This is what I want. This is what I want to happen. Do that. Do it, do it, do it. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio. Knicks, yo. Knicks.